and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. I am joined today by Conrad.
Hello!
And a special guest star in the form of Mr. Carl Brown.
Hello!
Now, you may be saying, who is Mr. Carl Brown? Well, in 30 seconds, he's going to tell you.
In 30 seconds?
Oh, wait, well, you can have slightly longer if you want.
I'm the guy who wrote the game that we're going to talk about today, which is Open Combat. Many moons ago, I used to work for GW in their studio, so a few old-timers amongst you might remember me from the early to mid-90s, where I wrote the article about playing with orcs in Blood Bowl. That was the first Blood Bowl tactics article that appeared in White Dwarf, which kicked off a series of other articles after that. And that's me, basically. If from my gamer background, I've played for far too many years of all sorts of different things. So I won't go into that because that'll take a lot longer than 30 seconds.
Are you old or are you young, Carl?
It depends where you're standing.
Okay.
He sounds young-ish.
He does sound young, doesn't he?
I'm in my early 40s.
As old as 44?
Not quite, no.
He's still young then.
Is that the qualifier, is it?
Well, that's how old I am, so anyone younger than me is obviously still young. Anyone as old as Conrad is, like, practically dead, so...
I don't know about you, but I always think everybody's the same age nowadays. It's like, whenever I'm talking to anyone, I forget, hang on a minute, actually, you're 20 years younger than me, aren't you? Because it's just the gaming.
Going to tournaments and stuff and doing events, I get that all the time. I think, and then they go, Mike, you had finished university when I was born, and I just go, no, and cry.
I've had that experience. You're kind of coming out with little quotes from movies you watched as a youngster, and they just look at you.
Right, yeah. So Open Combat.
Yes.
I talked about it on a previous episode, and I'm quite enthused by it, because it's basically a generic set of rules for playing fantasy warband type, well, not necessarily fantasy, any sort of warband type game.
That's right. It's a universal system. So essentially, it puts the power in the player's hands to create the stat lines and the kind of models that they want to play with. So whether it's from an historical period and you've got a particular way in mind, you think a Viking kind of berserker type should fight, or Roman, or whether it's a fantasy sort of area where you think orcs should be a particular way or dwarfs should be a particular way, you can stat up the guys in the way that you want them to play. So you've got total control in that sense, which means obviously on the sort of by extension, you can play with any miniatures you want as well. So, you know, you can use all your favourite miniatures. You can just use them, get them on the table, and get some games in with them, basically.
Okay, so I suppose the obvious question is why?
That's what I was going to ask, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's something like I mentioned, I used to work for GW way back when. I mean, when I was growing up, the games I played, there was loads of them. But, you know, there were absolutely tons of different games were coming out of Games Workshop in particular, but also there was a lot of role-playing games, like AD&D was one of the ones that I was playing a long time ago, and that character kind of the kind of generating your own character and playing with your own character or characters always appealed in the kind of formative years of playing games. And then obviously as you move in to play more mass combat games and things like that, they've all got their stats already pre-built. And actually post-90s, I guess, the games companies that have been producing stuff for the last 14-15 years, its majority of them are every model has a rule, because they're shifting models. That's what they're selling. They're selling figures. So it's, I mean, not so much on the historical side where you can pretty much have a World War II army and you can play any rule set. But on the fantasy side in particular, they seem to be producing rules that are every model has a rule. And it takes some of that kind of creativity that you can have as a player to put your own stamp onto it. So I was missing that. So that's one of the things that I was missing. Plus, I mean, I'm just a magpie like everybody else. I like to buy models from all sorts of ranges that might not necessarily have a game attached to them, or maybe I don't like the whole range, but I like that particular the model, and I wanted a way that I could integrate them. I mean, proxying is one thing you can do with any other system, but I also wanted to be able to pull them all together and play them as they are and give them their own character. And that's what Open Combat does. You can literally build your own guys in the way you want them to be and put your own stamp on them. You're not being dictated to or told this guy does this and you use him this way. You can do it the way you want. So it's a very different dynamic to a lot of the games that are out there at the moment. I mean, I enjoy them. I play them all, but I play a lot of them. But I just wanted to give people that creativity to do their own thing, or that option to do their own thing.
So when you decided to do it, let's be honest, a lot of gamers go, oh, it would be nice if I had a rule system to do this, and start to sit down and never actually get anywhere with it. Not that I'm at all guilty of that at all.
Oh no, we all do. We all tinker around with it, and that may be an age thing as well. I'm not sure about how many sort of younger guys are trying it, but
it's because of what you're used to. I find that the younger gamer potentially may not, maybe restricted by just buying the rule set and not necessarily be brave enough or adventurous enough to go away and say, well, actually, we can change it. You know, we can just add to it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is you kind of get conditioned to think a particular way. If it's not if it's not official, you won't do it. And that conditioning that people have had, I think, sort of makes them a little bit frightened of having a little go. You know, I mean, when I've been down to the club in Derby, you know, you see some of the older guys, and they're sort of just, they're always tinkering with their own rule sets. You know, it may never go anywhere. It may just always stay the club game. But it looks like fun, you know.
sorry, I had to get that in.
Well, some of them might have been. Who knows? It's been around for a long time.
Do you think that's come from a potential sort of event stroke tournament mentality, Cole? The fact that you've got to have the rules, they've got to be tight, and you don't mess with them as such?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it could be, but the funny thing that I find whenever I look at tournament scenes is that as much as whatever rule set people are using, whether it's War Machine or whether it's Malifaux or Warhammer, the various types, the tournament organisers always put their own spin on the rules that you are going to use at that event. So there'll always be, they use the term comping, or there'll be a particular list structure, or for crews, it'll be you can use this many points or whatever. So they always put a limiter, if you like. They put the brackets on it to make the game perform in the way they want for that event. So it's a funny kind of area, really, once you start looking at limits. In things, which I mean, with Open Combat, there are no limits. I literally kept that in there because for people, majority of people, when they play their games, it's just with their mates at home, or in the spare room, or you know, between brothers or whatever it is. The people, the guys that go out to tournaments and organised events, you know, that's the sort of mad keen guys. But they're actually, I think personally, I think that's actually a small fraction of the actual player base in the majority of games. So you know, it's that. You get kind of a false opinion of what things are when all you do is circulate online within the tournament mentality sort of circles, because it's a niche within a niche, if you like. You know, the niche is the overall niche is the wargaming niche, but the within that is the guys that do tournaments, or the guys that tinker with their own rules, or I think the vast majority of people who buy a rule set play at home with their friends or with their kids or whoever, and are quite happy with that, you know, and they just play it as is. And you know, it's a very wide hobby, if you like, in that sense. And from my perspective, when I was producing Open Combat, I thought, well, I'm not going to put any limits on, because it allows people to have freedom, total freedom, so that if you're sitting at home and you're going to be playing with your kids or whatever, they can all just make their own thing up and it's all cool. There's no rules against that. They can do what they like. The rule system itself actually accommodates that, if you like, accommodates that freedom. But equally, if there are guys that want to do organized events, if they want to do that, then they can put their own limits on it, because people do that anyway. So why should I set some limits up that are already going to be overwritten by other limits that tournament organisers put because they put their own limitations or brackets on their own event. So I'll just say the core game has no limits. If you want to do an organised event, whether it's a league or a tournament or whatever it is, then you can put your limits on there. And I'm quite happy to kind of get into discussions with people about that as and when that time comes, you know, about the kind of limits that I would put in place if I was running an event. But as far as the actual core game is concerned, allow people that flexibility. You know, it's kind of one of the core things I wanted about the game is to allow people to just explore things in their own way. The game gives you the kind of fun experience of whatever period or setting you're playing within, and that's the main thing, is it's having a fun experience. So, you know, let them do their own thing.
I suppose there's two questions. One, how did you make the decision to go from being someone who's tinkering with something or making a rule set for his friends to trying to sell it? And two, did you find that when you went out to market with a completely open game system, that people went, I don't understand, what's the stats of a human?
Well, I was aware that that response was going to happen, and a few people have said that. So getting back to the first question, how do I take it from messing about with my own rule set? Well, that kind of, I mean, I meant it in the preface of the book, that in about 2011, I think it was, myself and Gav, I mean, when Gav was at GW, well, going back when I left GW, I went off and started working in advertising and design companies. And I kind of dropped off the hobby for a little while. And then obviously having kids and all that kind of stuff, your time gets eaten up. And then I started to pull myself back into the hobby because you get drawn back in. You'll have like a hiatus and then you'll come back in because it's in your blood, isn't it, once you've got into it. And once I was back into the hobby again, I started to pick up on things. I'd missed a couple of editions of 40K, I think, but I kind of dropped back in and started playing and then enjoying it. And I joined the club at Derby. And then I'd seen something online about Gav was sort of leaving his post in Warhammer. And I thought, oh, I used to get on really well with Gav. I could just drop him an email. And then we just started emailing each other. And then we got together and we started going to a few wargaming shows, just checking out what was out there. And we started a few little projects of our own, and I'd been babbling away about tinkering with my own rule set for years, which had prior to 2000 I'd always been tinkering around with it. And he said, well, go on then, write it up, let's see it, and do it in two pages of A4 if you can. And I said, I reckon I could do it in one page, and I did, but that first one was a single page of A4, but it had a huge amount of assumptions based on, you know, playing war games. If you've got years of experience playing them, you'll have an understanding of how things work. So it was then a case of flashing it out. And I mean, this is back in 2011. So it's been a long time. It's taken me a long time to do it, just with commitments with, you know, work if you like, and kids and family and things. And eventually it was a case of, well, I've got to do it, because if I don't do it, it's never going to happen. So Gav was cracking the sort of mental whip, and I got one of my other friends was pushing me along, and a few of my kind of work associates, because I'd been babbling about it for years about wanting to do this thing, kept prodding me. And it very nearly didn't happen. About 3 weeks before I launched it, I was like, I can't do this. I can't sink any more time in, because while I was sinking in the time in developing it, or I should say putting it into production, actually producing the final file, I wasn't going out doing new business development for my kind of job, if you like. My kind of
so, those pesky jobs.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not, I'm self-employed. I've been self-employed since 98. So it's like, when I'm not doing new business development, I'm not going to be making any money. So it's kind of like, I was literally kind of having to work that edge.
we're going to shop you to yourself, so you might have
I would have sat myself years ago as a right slacker.
Carry on.
Yeah. So once I'd sort of got to that point where it was released, it was then a case of, well, got to that point where all the production was done and release. Pretty much when I released it, it was a case of just testing the engines almost on it. So, which is like, so I released it, I soft launched it at the Derby World Show at the beginning of October, where essentially it was my kind of first time taking it out into the wild with real people playing it, you know, as opposed to people who knew me and I was sitting with and explaining things to them. And or you know, the guys that were testing it separately. But they knew stuff. So it was like the feedback I was getting was very, very particular. So taking it to Derby War Games, that kind of experience I had there, the War Games show, was really empowering in a sense. Because there were dads coming along with their kids on Sunday and having a game, and they were kind of talking to each other going, this is brilliant. And the kids would say, like, oh, dad's got loads of figures, you know, from years ago. And the dad was saying, oh, I could just play with any of them, you know. And there was other guys coming in, sort of, whether it was historical gamers or whatever, that have little bits of historical armies that they've not really pushed into full armies. A bit like lots of us, you know, you kind of start a thing and then you go, oh, there's a shiny one over there, or I'll do that one, and you kind of drift around projects. And they were really interested in it because it allows you to just put your own take on something. So if you think a Saxon should be a particular way, then you can make him, you know, whether it's the, you know, the lower level Saxons or the, you know, the Thanes or whatever, you can do it your way. And they like that appealed to them. And then off the back of that, I got the site put together and launched it sort of through essentially tweeting about it on the Wednesday of the week after the World Show, and that was me testing the engines on, starting to talk about it online, because I thought, oh, I'm going to have loads of time. I'll have loads of time to get Facebook going. I'll have loads of time to get a YouTube video. Loads of time to actually get the forum running, and didn't have loads of time because once it was on Twitter, then it kind of filtered through quite quickly, and then suddenly I was getting comments and questions and things, and it all rapidly escalated. And while all that was going on, and which was brilliant because the sales were starting to come in, I was thinking, oh, I thought I'd got lots of time to catch up with this, and I haven't. You know? So while trying to get the work done that hadn't been doing for a while, I was then suddenly having to play catch up on keeping Second Thunder moving, because obviously with these sort of things, you have to stay on top of them because social media is so fast moving. Yeah. You have to stay on them. So it's at the moment, I kind of took a little breather after October. I made a conscious decision to sort of slow down a minute and let's start planning it all together, because there are supplements. I mean, this gets onto another topic, really. There are supplements that are going to be kind of almost a pick and mix approach, where people can buy them if they want them, or they can just play with the core system and nothing's required, if you like. You can just add extra detail or extra kind of flavor to the game as and when you want to. So
okay, right, so I'm going to cut you off now.
Okay,
because we've been going for 18 minutes.
Wow, crikey.
So far
I told you I was a waffle.
And it seems that we've got quite a lot of other stuff to talk about.
Yep.
So we can turn this into multiple shows. which is brilliant.
Oh, that means I'm going to have to listen to myself when I'm painted. Terrible.
I can give you preview copies. I think if we call it there, and we can pick this up in the next episode. So, I've been Mike.
I've been Conrad.
And I've been Carl.
Bye bye.
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 You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're @fools_daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.